Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette digital edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the Pinning Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher of the Gazette alongside Dick Briggs, ready to talk a little college wrestling with you. Teams are back in to the swing of things here now that we've reached 2026. Wow. Rixie, how are you doing?
I didn't think I'd be alive in 2026. How about that? Made it.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, right? There are times. There are times. But, yeah, we're just cross off another year of the calendar.
Yep, and at it, we got the college going, high school's fired back up, and girls are going, so yeah, everything's clicking.
Yep, in this next 6 weeks, it's going to be enjoyable chaos, really. It'll go quick, there'll be a lot going on, it'll be hectic, but it'll be a lot of fun to, let's jump right into the college scene here. First weekend, D1 schools were in action, a little bit of a different schedule than we're probably used to. Usually the Soldier Salute is that same area, same stretch of the calendar that the Midlands is between Christmas and New Year's. This year it's the first weekend of January, and I did talk to Josh Schomburger at the Soldier Salute, and it's going to stay this first weekend of January going forward. So get used to it at this spot in the calendar. And Iowa wrestled there. There are some UNI Iowa State wrestlers, reserves, but UNI wrestled at Nebraska. Iowa State's making a Western road trip. We'll talk about their duels at Stanford and Arizona State. Two wins there for the Cyclones, but first off, let's talk about the Soldier Salute and kind of the elephant in the room, I guess. A very limited amount of starters,
right?
Nasir Bailey's been the starter at 141. He was in the field. Jordan Williams and Victor Voinovich at 157. It's split time. Starting for Iowa the first half of the season. They were both in the field. Jordan Williams coming away with a title. Gabe Arnold had made some starts, but pretty much as a backup, kind of filling in at 84 and 97. He was in the field, but for the most part, no starters for it. Okay, no starters, but limited starters for the Hawkeyes.
Right, and that's kind of my tee it up with Briggs this week is the Soldier Salute, and evidently, if I'm understanding right, the Iowa held some guys, many of their guys out because of various reasons that are unknown to us, of course, but
we were told it was none of our business.
There you go. So if I'm going to speculate, I also think that, and I think this was also commented by Coach Brands that it's kind of close to the Big Ten season. Is that correct?
Yes. That was mentioned a couple times.
If it's close to the Big Ten season this year, likely it's going to be close to the Big Ten season next year and going forward. If Josh says that the tournament's going to stay in January, right. If that's the case, you're going to have to either, maybe I don't think they want to get rid of the tournament, but if you're going to make it a non-varsity, I think there was two or three teams that had their varsity there, North Carolina, Missouri, and maybe Wyoming. Does that sound right?
Well, yeah, for the most part. But I think North Carolina and Missouri both pretty much full bore.
Yeah, and so I kind of think that – I don't know the reason why – Iowa withdrew basically from the Midlands and started this tournament, but they did that to try and make it a powerful tournament, I think. And then it's really not become that at all. And not only that, the home team isn't fielding their team. And so hopefully in the future, they will do that if they want to keep this a viable, strong tournament.
Okay. So the origin of the Soldier Salute came during the COVID seasons, when the Midlands canceled two years in a row during kind of the restrictions. Of COVID. I know they tried to get something done. I mean, it was insane how much Josh Schomburger and Luke Eustace were able to accomplish in a very short window when they found out the Midlands were canceled. They nearly pulled it off within like weeks. But they weren't able to do it. So it pushed back a year, and essentially Iowa City, it's not necessarily Iowa's thing. It's the vacation, the visitors and vacation bureau or whatever it's called, you know, essentially the Chamber of Commerce there. Putting that together and having the, you know, it benefits soldiers and military. I believe portions of the proceeds go to the USO. It also helps with female wrestling in the area and stuff like that. But it was created for, you know, they didn't know, okay, how many years are we going to run into this thing where they're going to have something they're not? So they wanted something stable. Josh and Luke and the team down there really wanted to put on this show and have a great cause kind of at the heart of it. And it is really neat. You know, it's not lip service when they talk about it being for the soldiers. They had, you know, a moment of silence, and I was there at Press Row when they're talking about, hey, what are we going to do here before the finals? You know, like the routine or whatever. And Josh was like, they had a moment of silence for the staff sergeants who were murdered in Syria during the attack, the Iowa National Guard members. And Josh immediately was like, we need to have that moment of silence. Mm-hmm. And he insisted on doing it right before the finals again, even though they did it to start the day. And that's something that I know I'm getting really off track with things, but I think that really it's a big thing for the people that came up with it. You know, yes, it's an outlet, it's an avenue for having a tournament here at home. Iowa doesn't have to travel, you know, bring people into here and have a marquee tournament. Hasn't necessarily developed into that. I think it still could, but you know, it's the origins were because the Midlands kind of got
COVID.
There's some instability there for a couple years, and they like, why bother? Let's have our own tournament here in Iowa City. And reached out to the program and said, hey, what would you like to see here? So, yeah, it is kind of their home tournament, but it kind of isn't. Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of a, you know.
Well, here's
way to describe it, but.
And here's a kind of another look at it, different angle to look at it. Soldier Salute isn't the only one struggling. I think Midland struggled. And then I think the Southern Scuffle struggled a bit. And then I think also, if you go back to the Cliff Keen tournament, so it seems to be a trend in college wrestling that we don't want these big, powerful tournaments. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know where it's headed. So
that's a good point. Well, let's just touch on things really quickly from the Soldier Salute, mentioned Jordan Williams. He came away with a title at 157. He beat T. Travis 7-3 in the finals there. You know, that was one of the weight classes that you kind of figured were still up for grabs. You know, there is a competition there. And I think Jordan Williams maybe separated himself a little bit with his performance. Victor Voinovich, the third, got fifth. Overall, Williams performed quite a bit better, outperformed Voinovich. I know talking to him, he wanted to really put his own stamp on it, even though he's always felt he's the guy there for Iowa. But I would think right now, even though I would say kind of had a disappointing showing the last time he was out with giving up the major at Iowa State, I think he may have moved himself back into that front runner status at 157 for Iowa.
Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. And I think he always was, not always was the man, but was the guy to start with at the beginning of the season. And you're right, stubbed his toe a little bit. And I don't know that even in some of his other matches that he was as offensive as they would have liked him to be, and even probably he wanted to be. So, you know, if you take a little bit away from a guy, makes him work a little bit harder and be more aware of you know, really stepping his game up. So I think that's what happened. And so if that's the case, kudos to him and kudos to the coaches for bringing that out of him. You know, I think he's sitting pretty nice right now, but we'll see.
And then at 174, I don't know what to think about kind of the situation. There right now, Gabe Arnold cuts down to 74. I shouldn't say cuts down. It's not really a cut anymore with descent plans, but he weighs in at 174, competes there, gets second to Danny Wask of Navy, an All-American that I think was ranked ninth at the time. 4-1 sudden victory. A little scramble there with about 3 seconds to go on the edge of the mat, and Wask ends up getting the takedown late in sudden victory. Good showing from Arnold. What are they doing there? Because now he's listed as a possible 197 pound option against Wisconsin on Friday. You've got Kennedy that's ranked second or third, depending on the polls.
Yeah.
At 74, you obviously have Ferrari at 84, and Dean at 97, even though I'm not exactly sure what the situation is with him. He didn't wrestle right before the break and not listed on the probable lineups for Wisconsin. I mean, what do you do when you have that kind of a log jam there? And it's 174 wide open. No.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as long as Kennedy and Ferrari are there, he, I don't think he's going to be able to make the lineup. And that's not a secret. We knew that last year. Mm-hmm. The issue to me with Arnold is I want the guy to be more aggressive. He keeps everything close and, you know, goes to that third period takedown or sudden victory takedown, you know, it's a possibility. And in this instance, he didn't get the takedown, lost the match. And I just think he's holding back or something. I don't know. He won't pull the trigger. I always had that issue with Joe Williams too. There's a guy that to me was like, man, this guy is untouchable. When he opens up, he's so
yeah.
He just kept it, you know, kind of not real offensive. So I hope that that Gabe, and boy, I sure like him, the little bit that I've ever communicated with him. Good kid. So I hope he's able to crack the lineup somewhere. I don't know, like you said, what's going on with Indeen. He's been out for a while, and so I don't know, injury or what it might be, but we'll have to see what happens there. But I like Gabe. You know, he'll go wherever he needs to be. He's a utility guy.
And that's one thing too. You know, we've seen it from some guys before. Remember Mitch Bowman? Mitch Bowman he wrestled anywhere and everywhere. You know, whenever they say, hey, you wrestle, you know, he might even wrestle at heavyweight once.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but, you know, it's good to see that buy-in, especially after what kind of transpired in the off season, where, you know, was he dismissed? Was he leaving? Now he's staying. He wasn't dismissed at all. You know, who knows exactly kind of what went down there, but it's good to see that loyalty, I guess, you know, willing to do whatever that team first kind of approach that he's showing right now, willing to, you know, weigh in at 74. If you need me to weigh in at 74, I'll wrestle up at 97 if you need me to do that too. So I thought it was a decent performance, but like you said, and even Tom Brands alluded to it afterwards, you know, he needed to be more offensive, needed to be more, he needed to initiate more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I get the feeling that Gabe is walks around probably about 180 or the low 80s so that he can hit 74 when he needs to. You know, he might be upper 70s, somewhere in there. And sure. And then, but still can wrestle 84, of course. And then if he weighs in above 74, he can wrestle 97 there. So he's just in that range where he can actually go. But if he goes to 97, I have to think about this now, how that works. He, depending on what he weighs in at, he could lose his 74. It might bump him back up with a descent plan. So, but I think if he weighs in light enough, he's all right. So there's a threshold he has to maintain there.
And he did that in December when they wrestled down at the Journeyman Uncivil War duels against Utah Valley and Tennessee Chattanooga, where he was in the high 170s and wrestled at 197. So he's done it. He's done mm-hmm. it. And he certainly is talented enough. He can do it. So just kind of going through, or one of the other weights really to talk about too is 141, where Nasir Bailey reached the semifinals, lost to Isaiah Poe, and then medically defaulted. There was a time, it looked like a lengthy injury time during that match where I think they wrapped his mm-hmm. his hand and wrist. I know a lot of people are talking about the medical forfeits at a lot of these tournaments over the weekend. I have half a mind to think that this was more legit than just saying, oh, I'm not winning it, I'm done.
Yeah.
Kind of a situation, but you know, it could be that as well.
Where's he listed on in the probables?
It's him and Cale Peterson.
Both are listed, yeah.
Both. And Cale Peterson, you know, he got third on Sunday, avenged his only loss of the tournament to a kid from Wyoming, who I think was the second seed, maybe. So Cale Peterson wrestled well this weekend. So maybe that gives them a little more confidence that, hey, we can rest Bailey if needed, if he is banged up. I don't necessarily think there's heavy competition there. I think it's still Bailey, you know, number one. But it'll be interesting to see if there's something that lingers with that, you know, with a possible injury there. And they might rely on Peterson to fill in here early in the Big Ten season.
Yeah, and it's likely we will never know.
No, we won't. They won't. Yeah. But even with a healthy Bailey, you know, one thing that gets brought up a lot by people that I talk to, Bailey and Williams both seem a little undersized. That when they joined the program, they're kind of moving up a weight to fill holes in the lineup and maybe out of their natural weight classes. Do you see that at all?
Did Williams wrestle Ayala? Not Ayala. I mean, from Iowa State. Gosh.
Frost.
Yeah.
Yes.
And didn't Williams show a lot of length versus Frost? Am I remembering that right?
Wait, no.
It was against Ayala, wasn't it? And it was
Ayala and Frost wrestled at 33. Bailey and Etchemendia wrestled at 41.
Yeah.
And then Williams and Zurbin at 57.
Yeah, I was thinking of Frost and Ayala that match. So okay. To answer your question, yeah, I think they are undersized a little bit. Yep.
Well, so we'll see kind of how that transpires here as they kind of go forward too. But that'll be something to kind of keep an eye out, you know, when who's going there. And if that – maybe Peterson's performance, maybe that puts him in the running. Maybe he will get some action regardless of how Bailey's doing. We'll see if that's earned him a shot there. Just kind of mention, Kale Voinovich got fourth at 149. Tyrell Miller was eighth at 184. And then Harvey Luddington, freshman, 197-pounder. He was fifth. He wrestled fairly decent. I think he lost a 6-1 decision to Wyoming's Joey Novak, who's an All-American, ranked decently. I want to say maybe sixth or something like that. You know, freshman, I thought wrestled pretty well. He's in the probable lineup for this week. So, you know, he's somebody that Tom Brand said during the weekly media availability yesterday that we're going to use his dates. You know, he's somebody that you're going to see on the mat here. He'll have a chance,
right,
to wrestle a little bit and get some experience.
And if we're looking ahead here at Wisconsin, I don't know what Wisconsin's ranked. I actually should have looked and didn't, but
18th.
Oh, the 18th, yeah. So I did look at the matchups, and on paper, I would probably go 9-1 in matches, Iowa, Wisconsin. So that, you know, so it's, you know, that doesn't mean that's how it will end up, but.
Right.
So if Iowa has to wrestle without some of their typical starters because of injury or whatever, and it's good to see Keeter's penciled in as a probable starter. He's the only one listed, I think, isn't he?
Yes. Yep. He was. He was there at the Soldier Salute. So were some of the other starters that were there, kind of supporting the other wrestlers and stuff. Keeter seemed pretty chipper, able to say hi and. Talked to him very briefly there in the tunnel. So, and that's another thing. And I don't want to tread on the teeing it up too much, but that's another head scratcher on why. Okay. And no disrespect to Wisconsin and, you know, Chris Bono and the staff up there, but I know the 5-day turnaround. But it's Wisconsin, you know. I think you can have some either ors in that lineup and still win handily against Wisconsin.
Who I think Wisconsin might have finished last year at the bottom of the conference, if I remember right. Yeah, not to tread on them because they're doing pretty good this year.
Yeah,
having a good year, but it's not Ohio State, Penn State. You know,
it's not Nebraska. It's not Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Not even Michigan. Minnesota, really. I mean,
yeah, Michigan. Yeah.
So you know, I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I guess the match load is different than maybe a Friday Sunday situation. You know, you're only wrestling one on Friday, one on Sunday when they have those weekends. You know, because you are wrestling six matches or whatever over the weekend and then 5 days off and another one. But, I mean, I think it's one they could have handled. So Iowa had two place winners at 125. Keon Hernandez was seventh. Joey Cruz was eighth. Iowa State had a couple place winners. Asmani Diversant was fifth, and Carter Pearson was seventh at 133. Melton Powell, eighth at 174. And then you and I thought the guys from you and I that went down there wrestled well. You had Izzy Moreno, who lost to Gabe Arnold in the semifinals. He got third. Jack Thompson, he got fourth. I believe he was a finalist for South Dakota State a couple of years ago at the tournament when it first started. Bowen Downey wrestled well, got fifth at 125. Max Brady was seventh. And then Union Community, the former Union Community prep, Jace Hedeman, was eighth at 133. So it was interesting. There are quite a few UNI Panthers that were there for day two. They made the immediate trek over from Lincoln on Saturday after they wrestled Nebraska, and got over there to kind of support their teammates. And you saw those guys at Extreme Arena. I know Cale Ranavardi didn't place, but he wrestled Jordan Williams really tough.
Right.
In the quarterfinals at 157, he was leading till late. Williams scored a takedown, ended up winning 8-6 with that late takedown. But I don't know. I thought you and I wrestled fairly decent there.
Right. And with the tournament, it, like it is right now, kind of a non-varsity tournament. I mean, with some varsity, obviously. But it kind of reminds me of the Cornell Invitational coming up here in January for the D3s. You know, it's a good mm-hmm. tournament. If, you know, if it's not going to be varsity, fine, just leave it as it is and have bring in those non-varsity to help build, you know, help them get some competition and you know, be able to get out on the mat. I mean, those guys work their butts off, you know, so they deserve that too. So
right.
I'm glad to see that those guys are stepping up and improving. So, you know, from all the teams.
For sure. Iowa State, you know, they jumped back into the competition, heading out west. They wrestled at Stanford. They had to come back and beat Stanford. I believe it was 18-16. Then they wrestled Arizona State on Tuesday night. Last night, came away with a 29-14 win there. The one thing that stands out is quite a few guys out for them, even though some of them came back and wrestled in the Arizona State duel. But I think there are five starters that didn't wrestle against Stanford. Some of those guys did come back and wrestle against Arizona State, so probably not much of a concern there. But outside of the Stanford, they were there, had half a lineup. I thought they wrestled well against Arizona State.
Right. And the actual score at Stanford, I think, KJ, was 20-18. So you're
right. Oh, okay.
And then
it was 2 points.
Yep, you're right. And the ASU is interesting because ASU has a pair of brothers, the Larkins. Actually, one of the Frosts did not wrestle. I believe he was out of the lineup. But that leads me to the match of the featured match or whatever at 149. It was number not at 149. Sorry, at 157. It was Caleb Larson from ASU, who's ranked third at 149, bumped up to wrestle Vinnie Serban, who's ranked third at 157. So it was number three versus number three, and Larkin got a takedown. I saw that scramble, and that was a nice scramble. Those Larkins are just good, solid wrestling.
Yeah. Of course, they come from, Eric Larkin.
Right.
That wrestled at Arizona State. Come from a good family there. Good wrestling family.
Good genes.
Yeah.
And then did you? I think you mentioned it, but now on Sunday, Iowa State's on this road trip going to Fargo, lovely Fargo. Fargo's lovely this time of year.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of, you know, I did kind of have an idea why Rocky Elam isn't in the lineup. I know with him coming off injury and him being one of those 6-year guys where we've seen that wear and tear on,
yeah,
on those older guys, it's not necessarily the older you are, the better it is. You know, we saw that with Kemmerer and some other athletes. So they're probably trying to limit kind of his workload, I guess, is what they, you know, they say now. The Evan Frost, though, I wonder if there's something up there. We'll have to kind of keep an eye on it, see how things, how the lineup looks on Sunday against NDSU. You know, who has Max Magana? Got to remember to mention Max Magana in the lineup for the Bison up there, the former Waterloo state champ up there. So, but we've seen Zerbin miss some time. Gaitan finally back in the lineup there and had a tech fall against Arizona State. Isaac Dean wrestled again. At 184, Poland, Steve O'Poland missed the Stanford duel, but came back. We'll see how that kind of plays out. But the one I'd be worried about right now is if Frost is kind of lingering, if there's something lingering with him.
Right. And I would, with Poland back, I think he had a 12-1 win. So that's good to see him get back on the saddle there. He had a few tough matches in the early part of the season. So, he needs to get back on that mat, get his confidence. I'm sure he's not lacking in that, but right. It doesn't hurt to get your arm raised, right?
Right. And then you and I mean, not much really to say about Nebraska. They went there. Nebraska won 30-6, really dominated. You and I got two wins. Trevor Anderson at 125. That was one where, one of the few, if not only, unranked wrestlers that, Nebraska had. Ryder Downey, had a nice win, there, knocking off the number 7 guy in sudden victory and then earning, Big 12 Wrestler of the Week honors this week. What is this something you just kind of flush and move on and look forward to the NWCA duels at home, or is this something to, you know, we need a better performance than that from
you want to put that as far in the rearview mirror as possible. and Downey, if I remember right, Downey's last outing was a loss, right?
Against North Carolina.
Yeah, against North Carolina. So that's a nice comeback for him and get back in the saddle there, beating number 7, like you said. And so a good win there. I see that Volker's Wyatt is still out of the lineup there. So at heavyweight. So that's another. But, you know, I've said this a lot, even when I was a wrestler going through it, you could probably say the same thing. The college season is really long. It's so long. And it just beats up a body. And not only a body, but it beats you up here too. You gotta stay focused for so long. So we're seeing every one of the three state schools have guys out of their lineup and you know, likely injuries and that sort of thing. So you kind of milk it through trying to get everyone. You hopefully at the end you got all 10 of your best guys at each weight ready to go. You know, so but along the way you kind of limp yourself along. Many times, so
sure.
Anyway,
so I'll turn it over to you here. I know we kind of touched on it a little bit. You know, there's a lot of talk about kind of where these mid-season tournaments are sitting right now. They seem to be kind of shells of themselves. Let's tee it up. Briggsy, why don't you tee it up here?
Well, we kind of already have. So I'll just add this to it.
Okay.
You know, besides the, you know, like I said, the different tournaments that have we've seen, you know, kind of the top level teams have avoided them, like the Cliff Keen. And, you know, now this year's a little different because we did have the national duels down in Oklahoma. But so you had that. So that kind of changed things a little bit. I do appreciate you and I, who was a part of that. And then they're going to be a part of the national duels. I mean, they're hosting it. You know, so
right.
We can talk about that in a minute with the different pools, but you know, so, and we also see coaches holding people out at some of these duels, like you focus in on the Big Ten. We'll see some of the guys out of everyone's team. And then we also see at the Big Ten tournament on the backside, which is the qualifying tournament, right, for nationals. So we see some guys forfeit out, you know, and we've seen that before, you know, trying to give them their wrestler another couple of weeks of recovery for the national tournament once they've qualified, or they know that if they're going to be a wild card or whatever. So, that's it. I guess we've already kind of hit most of it on the teeing it up.
Yeah. You know, it's not going to make things any better, I don't think, when the national duels is held in December.
Yeah.
You know, it's moving to December next year. And I think that's going to, you know, that's going to change things a lot. You know,
here's the difference, though. The difference with the national duels is these schools are going to get paid, you know, if that continues to happen, get paid, you know, substantially for just participating in it, and like they did this year. So they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to be part of that if they're invited or qualify. And you know, they'll adjust their schedule other ways, I suppose, you know. But yeah, to your point, in December, now it's moving to December.
Here's another thing too. You know, maybe I'm turning into a grumpy old guy, in my 50s here. You know, it just seemed at one time, if you had a pulse, you'd play. You know, and it's not just wrestling. I think all sports. There was a time that, hey, if you can walk, you're out there,
right?
You know. You know, rub some dirt on it, right? That was the old line. Tape it up, you know, spit on it, you're fine. That kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Seems like, and maybe we've just evolved to the point where you don't have to have that kind of mentality. Maybe it's for the better, or maybe there's less toughness when it comes to, hey, if you're dinged up, you still wrap it up and go. You know, maybe there isn't that mentality anymore. Maybe it's like with NIL, you know, the money that's out there for college athletes. Maybe it's like the pros where, hey, we have an investment in you. You're not going out there if you're dinged up, or we're only going to have you play so much because we need to get the most out of you in the long run. So they're protecting their investment a little bit and not wrestling or competing in whatever sport. Do you think that's factored in to whether or not we've seen guys on the mat, you know?
Not only is it factored in, it's going to probably not get better, but probably get
worse.
I don't know that worse is the right word, but certainly going to be more prevalent.
Prevalent.
The days of Cal Ripken, you know, in Iron Man, or Ernie Banks, let's play two mentality. You know, those are gone, I think, you know. And like we just said, this is a long, long season, so maybe that's deserving. I don't know. I don't think they're ever going to shorten the season.
No. And I want to make a point too. I think this is different than you know, I think maybe a Matt McDonough, Corey Clark situation, where I think Matt was somebody that went out there and was a warrior, and probably hindsight being 2020, it would have been better for him if they would have put on the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
And the finish would have been better for him, you know, because you could just see at the national tournament, you know, he just wasn't the same. And they did that with Corey Clark. I think they learned from that situation. Corey Clark was somebody that, you know, they were better with the workload, and he ends up finishing with a national title. So I'm not saying it's the case for every single case, but boy, it just seems like yeah. You said, it's more prevalent and probably going to be that way.
Right. And, you know, with McDonough and Clark, they were so close to each other in the timeline, really. So they learned from that. But shoulders are funny. They're not the same. You know, who knows? Even if they did that with McDonough, it still might have been so bad. That, I mean, he was a trooper, man. That guy, I remember watching him trying to wrestle one with one arm, basically.
Yeah.
But that's Matt. Matt's just has been that way since I've ever known him.
I know, right?
He's a tough bird. He gets that from his mom, who grew up.
Yeah, I think so. Right, I think so. I think Mike would agree on that. And, as well.
Oh, Sandy. I know, yeah. Mike gets credit too.
Sandy's got that West Side blood in her, right?
That's all right. Yep. School all the way. Elementary.
Yep. Well, hey, let's look at the NWCA multi-divisional duels are this weekend, mm-hmm. up at the Unidome. You've got, you know, second year in a row with a D1 bracket in the mix. You and I won it last year. SDSU got second last year. You've got D2, Upper Iowa's part of that, D3, a lot of the regular players there, especially good Iowa contingent in the field. But what do you see from the, you know, on the, and then of course the women's tournament as well. What do you see? What are your thoughts about kind of what will be going on up at UNI this weekend?
Okay, so all of them, with the exception of D1, are a bracketed tournament, and so they go down to the, you know, to the champion. And then at D1, they have two pools. So there's 10 teams involved. In pool A this year is Campbell, Central Michigan, Harvard, Northern Illinois, and Northern Iowa. And then in pool B is Bloomsburg, Cal State Bakersfield, Drexel, Ohio, and South Dakota State. And they'll wrestle a round robin there. And then I believe they pair ones and ones up, or I don't know if they do two and one. But anyway, so that's how it works in D1. And one more note on D1, I didn't realize this is Schwab's 16th year at UNI. You think I would know? Yeah. This is his 16th. I, you know, it's just like, wow. I hadn't, you know, just
time flies.
Yeah. And then also at Ohio, you know, is Joel Greenlee, former All-American at UNI and assistant coach at UNI, and he's been there for 28 years. 28 years. Holy cow. KJ, we're getting old.
I know, right?
Yeah,
that's just remember him competing.
Right. Both of those just, and you know, Joel was an assistant at UNI for a long time before he took that role. So anyway, and
getting I'm in the tooth.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, just a comment on D3. It's probably, it usually goes down to, because Wartburg wasn't there a couple of years ago, I don't think Augsburg either, La Crosse won that tournament, I think, was it 2 years ago or whatever?
Yeah.
And two or three, whatever. And anyway, and then, so you know, have those players, but it usually goes down to the Bergs, and typically, whichever Wartburg or Augsburg wins it at the national tournament, a lot of times when you get to the Battle of the Berg at the duels, the other team wins it. So, you know, those teams are back and forth. So I would expect those two to be, I think they're seeded 1 and 2. So Warburg 1 and Augsburg 2. So probably go down to them as well. Again.
Yeah, I think so. One of the, you know, Upper Iowa, in the D2 field, they open with Tiffin, and then the winner gets the winner of McKendree or Nebraska Kearney, more than likely Nebraska Kearney there. So a tough draw there for Upper Iowa. You know, NAIA will be there as well. You'll have Grandview and Life and those schools. But looking at the D3 bracket, Warburg opens with Johnson and Wales in the quarterfinals. So that's one that didn't they just go down to the wire for the national title 2 years ago? Or
they tied.
Tied. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. No, that was over in Rhode Island, right?
Right. Yep. So Warburg has won 15 and a half titles.
Okay. Loras, they open up with College of New Jersey. Loras really had a strong first half of the season. You mentioned Wisconsin lacrosse and friend of the program, Dave Malachek. Over there, they have Roanoke College, and then North Central and Augsburg also wrestling on Friday.
Yeah, it'd be fun to watch. I don't always do. So if you can get up into the Unidome, it's a multi-ring circus. I don't know how many mats they have, but when that was held in Indianapolis and then over in, not in Indianapolis, Indiana, and then also down in Tennessee or Kentucky,
Louisville
as well. But it was in Indiana prior to Louisville, so right. I've been to both, and there's a ton of mats out there. It's a lot of fun.
And did it get over to Illinois at one time?
Not since I've been attending it.
Okay, I might have been. I might be thinking of something else.
Indiana, so. I can't remember what town in Indiana, but it's fun.
And then on the NAIA side, just want to mention Grandview. They open with St. Thomas University there. Life, also part of the field, Indiana Tech, some of the top teams there in the NAIA bracket for the men. For the women, you know, you've got pretty much the same cast of teams. Iowa leading the way there. So, you know, really, I know they had a doozy with North Central last year, but North Central is not quite the same as it was a year ago. I think there are some other teams that are better, but Iowa certainly kind of the team to beat. McKendree's number 2 seed. You got Grand Valley State, King's College, Colorado Mesa, who Warburg just beat over the break, over the holidays. So, but Iowa opens with William Jewell, and the winner gets the winner of Sacred Heart Fort Hays. Could be a semifinal matchup with North Central, but that I'm sure Iowa will dominate there.
As soon as you said Mesa, my mind went back to my years when I was Western State in Gunnison, Colorado. I think Mesa's in Pueblo.
Is it?
I believe so, which is I could be wrong there. But boy, I never got to go to Pueblo, thank you. It's in southeastern Colorado, which is out in the plains, right? So you leave the mountains.
Gotcha.
I never had to go there. I could be wrong. I think Mesa's there. We wrestled
Grand Junction.
Is it? Oh, Mesa's in Grand Junction, isn't it? Okay, so it's clear on the west. So I take that back. Pueblo okay. is south. I forget which one is in Pueblo. But anyway, there's my mind back going back to Colorado. That's 40 years ago.
Well, you know, the one thing that just kind of hit me a little bit, and I know the lower levels, you know, there are some D2 schools out in Colorado and stuff, but I'm looking at the field for the women's bracket, right?
Yeah.
You've got Colorado. You've got a school from Kansas. You've got a school from Georgia. You've got a school from Tennessee, South Carolina, Connecticut, West Virginia, South Dakota, Missouri, Illinois, some of the regular, you know, Michigans, Pennsylvania. But the fact that the women's side of things reaches out into some states that men's programs don't, outside of maybe NAIA, is that something that could benefit the sport in the long run?
Hopefully. It could go either way on that. You know, it's right now we're seeing that it's not helping D1 anyway at all.
Right.
You mentioned Kansas. There's no D1 schools in Kansas that have wrestling, and only a few that are below that.
Yeah, not in Georgia.
Right, not in Georgia. And then also Colorado, the University of Colorado doesn't have it.
Not anymore, no.
No, they haven't had that for a long time. And, you know, so I would like to think that it's going to help it, but right now it's just not. I mean, Oklahoma State's got their club program right now, or whatever they're calling that, you know, before they start competing, I think, is it next year or in 2 years? With the Oklahoma State girls. But anyway.
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah. It's trickling, but I don't know. Right now, I don't think it's helping a lot, KJ. And, you know, the ADs, if they need to tighten their purse on the budget, that sort of thing, they're going to come after wrestling probably.
Well, Cal State Cal Baptist. You know, all the work that Lenny Zaleski did out there became a D1 program, and now they're cutting. Cal Baptist found out over the break that program is being cut. One thing I want to mention before we kind of finish off, the head coach at Fort Hays State in the women's field, local ties there, Elijah Jeffrey. He's in his fifth year as a head coach at Fort Hays State on the women's program there. Of course, you know, he has, you know, Jeffries. He ended up as a state champ at Linmar, went and wrestled at Northern Illinois. So he's got a program in the women's bracket there. They finished 20th last year.
So his mom, when I was at Jefferson, was the SRO, the police, you know, what I think that's what the safety, whatever it stands for, but the policeman.
Police officer.
Yeah, there you go. And at Jefferson, then eventually over to Prairie. My son wrestled Elijah, at least tried to. And he was very good because he is a couple of years older than Kyle, two or three. But real, real nice family and great kid. They were part of our youth program too, growing up with the back then Bad Boys, now the West Side Wrestling.
Right.
So
All right. So got a lot of action coming up this week. As we mentioned, the NWCA duels up at Cedar Falls. Get up there and catch some really good wrestling over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. Iowa starts the Big Ten dual season Friday against number 18 Wisconsin at Carver Hawkeye Arena. That's a 7 o'clock start. And then Iowa State still on its road trip wrestling at North Dakota State on Sunday to close out the weekend. So we're back in the swing of things.
Yes, sir. Loving it.
Always fun. Thanks for tuning in here for the new year. Look forward to the action going forward. Appreciate everybody watching and following along. And Coach Briggs, take us out here on the college version of the Pinning Combination.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.